This is the Internet Multicasting Service. Harper Audio presents scenes from Lorraine Hansberry's To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. Hansberry draws on her own experience to portray racial tension in the early 1960s.
I recall being the only child in my classes who did not come from the Rooseveltian atmosphere of the homes of the 30s. Father ran for Congress as a Republican. He believed in American private enterprise and, among other things, amassed in terms of our community, a fortune. Though actually he had merely become a reasonably successful businessman of the middle class. But we are all shaped, are we not, by that particular rim of the soup bowl where we swim. And I have remained throughout the balance of my life a creature formed in a community atmosphere where I was known as a rich girl. In any case, my mother sent me to kindergarten in white fur, in the middle of the Depression. The kids beat me up. And I think it was from that moment I became a rebel.
Because it was the largest of all the boxes, she had noticed it for days. And when at last the morning came and she was allowed to rip asunder the smooth white tissue paper, the child could do nothing but sit stunned. The grown-ups oohed and aahed. They touched the fur. They congratulated the mother. And all the while the child sat half ill with the outrage that had been committed against her Christmas. She's compelled to stand up, a small angry mannequin in her pajamas, while the coat was first lovingly shaken and then thrust upon her frame and buttoned to her chin. Then the muff was placed on her fists. Now she was ready, and she was made to walk up and down so that the grown-ups could ooh and ah yet another chorus. At the hall mirror, she saw herself. She looked exactly like one of the enormous, stupid rabbits in her silly coloring books. She hated those rabbits. Several tears, fat and lush, rose at once and spilled down her cheeks and past her tight lips until they dripped directly onto the ermine.
But the oohs and ahs prevailed. Swathed in white, she was sent to school. The children of the ghetto promptly set upon her with fist and inkwell.
And ever since that day, I have been antagonistic to the symbols of affluence. In fact, after that day, I chose my friends with intense fascination from among my assailants. Now, there had been an aspect of the society of kids from the ghetto which demanded utmost respect. They fought. The girls as well as the boys, they fought. If you were not right with them, there they were after school waiting for you. A little gang of them in their gym shoes blocking off the sidewalk. Face to face with the toughest, the dialogue began.
She say, you say, I wear dirty underwear.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Who you? Calling a lie.
Calling nobody a lie.
Yes, you are. You said you didn't say what I said. She said you said.
I didn't.
See? She just said it again. Hit her!
Dreadful things generally ensued after that. A sudden blow, or one's entire person seized in a hostile embrace of fury and thrown to the sidewalk, where the pebbly texture of the concrete cut into the elbows and the knees. But above all, the sheer terror of it, the fact of violence.
Englewood High School, Southside Chicago, and
William Shakespeare. I remember we had to memorize speeches from Macbeth and Julius Caesar, all under the auspices of a strange and bewigged teacher whom we naturally and cruelly christened Pale Hecate. God rest her gentle, enraptured, and igniting soul.
You do not read, nor speak, nor write the English language. I suspect that you do not even think in it. God only knows in what language you do think. Or if you think at all. 'Tis true. The English have done little enough with the tongue, but being the English, I suspect it was the best that they could do. In any case, I'll have it learned properly before 11 one of you pass out of this class, that I will. As for you, miss. As for you, indeed. Surely you will recognize a third letter of the alphabet when you've seen it.
See?
Aye. A C it is. Well, you're a bright and clever one now, after all, aren't you, lass? And now, my brilliance, would you also be informing us as to what a grade signifies when it is thus put upon the page?
Average.
Average. Yes. Yes. And what else in your case, my iridescence? Well, then I'll be telling you in fine order. It stands for cheat, my luminous one. For them that will do half when all is called for. For them that will slip and slide through life at the edge of their minds, never once pushing into the interior to see what wonders are hiding there. Content to drift along on whatever gets them by, cheating themselves, cheating the world, cheating nature. That is what the sea means. My dear child. My pet. Ah. My laziest queen of the Ethiopes.
Shakespeare, a source of comfort and agitation so bound together that they are inseparable.
But Shakespeare, notwithstanding, neither Pale Hecate nor anyone else could bring much comfort on that agitated day of the race riot at school. Oh, yes. I remember and will never forget how on that day the well-dressed colored students, like myself, had stood amusedly around, simply staring at the mob of taunting whites and showing not the least inclination to assert racial pride.
Then had come the veterans, volunteers from Wendell Phillips High School, carloads of them, waving baseball bats. The word had gone into the ghetto.
The old phase out on striking, beating up and raping colored girls under the viaducts out south.
Yeah, we better go, because them little chicken-shitting niggas out there ain't about to fight.
And so they had come, pouring out of the bowels of the ghetto. The children of the unqualified oppressed. The children of the black working class in their costumes of pig pants and cloth heads and tight skirts and violent language. And worst of all, colored anklets held up by rubber bands.
Yes, they had come and they had fought. It had taken the mayor and the visit of a famous movie star to get everyone's mind on other things again. He had been terribly handsome and full of speeches on tolerance. And had also given a lot of autographs. But she had been unimpressed. She never could forget one thing.
They had fought back.
This has been Harper Audio. HarperCollins is the copyright owner of this recording and has consented to a limited distribution of Harper Audio as an 8 kHz computer sound file on Internet Town Hall. It is a violation of United States and international copyright laws to copy these recordings in any other way. Harper Audio is a trademark of HarperCollins Publishers, Inc. To order a copy of this tape or to request a catalog of all Harper Audio spoken word cassettes, please call 1-800-C-HARPER or 717-941-1214 or send mail to harper@town.hall.org. This has been a production of the Internet Multicasting Service. Support for Harper Audio is provided by HarperCollins and by Sun Microsystems and O'Reilly & Associates. Network connectivity for the Internet Multicasting Service is provided by UUNET Technologies and MFS DataNet.